don't believe in God. That'd be so irrational of me. But yet, I want to understand that when the devil attacks us, he does attack our faith. And he doesn't do it this way. He didn't do it in the Garden of Eden this way either. He never comes to your mind and tells you, I mean, he would, and maybe he has tried to, but he never comes and tells you there's no God. He just comes and speaks against the character of God. And he speaks against what God said. Isn't that what he, right from the get-go, right in the garden, did he not? He didn't pull Eve off. The serpent didn't pull Eve off to the side and go, listen, you're living and you're hallucinating. This one you're walking with in the cool of day is not God. You know, it's a fallacy for you to believe there's a God. The devil didn't do that. What did he do? He just challenged what that God said. And that's what the devil does to us every day. If he can get away with it, challenge us to what God said, challenge us on God's nature. And may I say this, it sounds a little brash, but if you deny God's character, it's the same as not believing in him. Think about it. What are you believing in then? If you're not believing in who he is. And there's a little simple example, is I could have a $100 bill folded up in my pocket here and say, anybody has need of this $100 bill, here's all you have to do is just come and ask me, and I will give it to you. So one of you is like, I'm going to take them up on that. I got a $99 electric bill. I'll have an extra dollar for coffee if I can get that $100 bill. But somebody else in here says, he don't really have that. He's just setting you up. He just wants you to come and ask him, and then you're going to feel all embarrassed, and you're not going to get it. And so the person listens to the lie instead of believing me that says I have it. They're going to believe the other person that says it's all a lie, it's all a setup, whatever, many different reasons. And it doesn't change the fact that I have the $100 bill in my pocket. It's just to your disadvantage that you didn't believe it and take advantage of it and collect it. So this is what I'm talking about. We may say, oh yeah, I believe in God, but do we believe God? Do we really believe his word? Do we stand fast on it? See, God is always in the act of revealing himself to us. Why? So that we would continue to know that he is Lord. It seems like, Pastor, I settled that a long time ago. Well, I'm challenging you on that this morning. Do you believe again today that he is the Lord? Is he the Lord of your life? And different ways the Lord reveals that he works in our life to reveal and show us and freshen us our mind every day that he is the Lord, as we share so often here and we hear so often in testimonies, that he does it through trials. He allows trials to come, and those trials challenge our faith. Again, it don't get me to think there's no God. And just get me to question God. Question God's love for me or what, you know, whatever. But James says God tests our faith through trials. So what will it do? It'll produce in us endurance and a constancy. I shared that with the men yesterday morning about having that constant day by day walk with the Lord. That's faith. It's by faith that we do that. And all of that he's doing through this is for the purpose of making us perfect and complete in the Lord. So, but if we doubt the character and the nature and the word of God, then that kind of sidetracks us towards this eternal purpose of being perfect and complete in him. So this is one way we all are aware of that God reveals himself to us and shows us. The showing is when he brings us through the trial. And it's over, then we say, he certainly is God. Why did I doubt him? He is certainly God. And then another way that he reveals that in our lives is through revelation. He encourages our faith when he intervenes in our life. When he moves on our behalf, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a trial, but just day-to-day circumstances in your life, little things that God does to show you Sometimes there may have, maybe everybody might have a little bit of a testimony where one day you ask God to just show you something, and he did. He did that because, again, he's revealing himself that he is the Lord, that he is your Lord. Amen. Time and time, God has showed me in the sermons I had preached was from him. Tyler, you were talking about that downstairs this morning, how you're wrestling with that, because I know what that's like. I've wrestled with that for 19 years. if you're hearing from the Lord or not. And so many times through a song that we sing, through a word that someone gives or scripture somebody reads, you've heard me get up here a few times and says, hey, somebody just preached my sermon this morning. God is revealing himself to me. So again, it'll sink in that he is the Lord. He's the Lord, my God. And shows me, yes, I am hearing from him. I love what Pete Spackman said. I spent three or four days with Lee and Daryl and Pete Spackman. And I think the most important words I heard Pete Spackman said twice, we are more led than we think. I just love that. If you really are wanting to walk with the Lord, and it is really your desire to live to please God, if it is really your desire to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, you are more led than you think. Hallelujah. And I want to believe that. And God keeps on showing that, yes, I, just like any of you, like, I need God to make himself real again and show me again that he's really behind everything that is going on. So I can honestly say that there was never a time in my life, at least that I can remember, that I ever did not believe there was a God. In fact, we know there is no such thing as an atheist, just people who just want to live in self-denial or denial, God denial, I guess. Everybody knows in their heart there is a God. It says a fool has said in his heart there is no God, but it doesn't say a fool believes in his heart there's no God. There's a big difference between the two. They're just saying it. They're trying to lie to themselves. And even before I was saved, I always knew there was a God. But I can say that as many times as a believer, once I got to notice God, I questioned our great God's character, and I questioned his word. I believed his word, but yet I would question it at times. How is that? Is that really gonna? Are you really gonna, Lord, like your word says? So God is continually revealing himself to us that we may know that he is our Lord, that he is the mighty God who he says he is. He really is a mighty God. And I guess some people say he's only as mighty as you believe. And you know what that means? I mean, there's nothing that can counteract his power and might. But if you don't believe it, it's not going to be displayed in your life. We're not going to go forward believing. You know, we're not going to go forward and be effective if we don't believe what our God says and get the anointing that he gives. So God is, when Israel was in Egypt, God displayed great miracles in the forms of plagues. And he said he did this so Egypt would know that he is the Lord. And even when Egypt resisted him and went out to destroy Israel after they left Egypt, and you know, Pharaoh, his heart was hardened again. And now he's going to go out and destroy the Egyptians or the Israelites. But the Egyptians got destroyed. And God said the reason he did that is so Egypt would know that he is the Lord. Too bad they had to lose their Pharaoh and army to learn that lesson. But if he wanted to reveal and convince people who were not his people, imagine how much more he wants to show us who are his people how real he is in our life and how great of God he is in our life. Ahab, as you know, he was one of the wicked kings, although he had a moment of a time of repentance. But in the days of King Ahab, there was the Syrian king Ben-Hadad, and he mustered up 32 other kings and armies to go attack Samaria. in Israel. And a prophet came to Ahab and said this in 1 Kings 20:13. And let's keep on bringing these verses because I want us to see how God has always been in the act of revealing himself and always showing himself and always drawing and calling people to believe him and who he is. Seems like kind of silly to be preaching this to people, like preaching to the choir, but I know I needed to hear this. I know I was reading it. I got one spot I read as I was reviewing my notes. I'm like, oh, I felt a shiver go through. The Lord was speaking to me. But 1 Kings 20:13, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. God is always moving on our behalf so that we know he is the Lord. So he went and defeated armies, Ben-Hadad and his armies. He escaped. In the next spring, they get an idea they're going to attack again. Some of the servants of the king of Syria said, well, their gods are the gods of the hills. So if we can draw them to battle out in the plain, we have the strength to beat them. We can overcome these Israelites if we can just draw them out there. They don't know anything about the God of Israel. They think he's the gods of the hills. We sing that song. He's the God in the mountain and the God in the valley. But again, in 1 Kings, now same chapter, but verse 28, then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys, I will show them who I am. No. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude in your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Isn't that awesome? He's just always wanting to show us that he is the Lord. And so the Lord revealed himself to Israel. He revealed himself to the Syrians and showed the Syrians that he is also the God in the valley. He's the God in the hills, the mountains, the valley, and he is our God wherever we are. Any place we are, he is our God. He can meet with us. We can call on him. He might have to have an appointment to meet with you, but you don't need an appointment to meet with him. Sometimes, sorry, God, I don't have time for you right now, but he's never, ever once said that to any of us. We can meet and he'll be there. He revealed that he dictates who he is and not who the Syrians are, not what anyone thinks he is. He is the Lord, and he will show who he is, and he will reveal who he is, and we get to be the recipients of that, and we need to believe that. And certainly God does humble those exalted. We have the strength, we can win. Well, they got humbled. I forgot to tell that Israel defeated them. I forgot to say that part. Ezekiel, this phrase, you shall know that I am the Lord, is found the most in the prophet Ezekiel. And in there, quite often he's speaking to Israel through Ezekiel that he's going to judge them. And it is through their judgment, losing their land, being defeated, and all of the bad things that are going to happen to Israel that he's just saying time and time again. The reason it is because he wants to show them that he is the Lord. And I find that interesting that even when we can get backslidden or just grow a little cold or callous toward the Lord, he will still come, even if judgment has to come, even if some chastisement, some reproof has to come into our life. Why is that? Because he's showing us that he is the Lord our God. Amen. So we see that God shows himself through miracles. We can see it that he is God through judging our enemies. He shows himself in many places in our life, and even through judgment, if it gets to that point, he is always moving to show us that he is the God that he says he is. So God wants us to know and be convinced that he is the Lord over all and that he is our Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we're not serving Buddha in here. He's dead. We're not serving Muhammad. Not even Allah. We're serving God Almighty. God Almighty is our God. And our God has revealed himself to you. And we have no other business than to believe him for all that he is. And of course, he's working that out in us, and he's teaching us, and he has to do these things and allow these things to keep on revealing to us. Don't be frustrated or aggravated because he's doing that. Be grateful that he is. Amen? You can get frustrated with yourself at times, but know that God is there, just constantly showing you who he is. And sometimes all you have to do is look. Sometimes people get stuck in a funk or something, and then one day God just comes through and they realize how obstinate and stubborn they've been, and all along he's been there, just showing himself. Here are a few important things that God wants to make known about himself. And it starts, our salvation starts here. It's in Mark chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. It says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I like this, and the reason I picked this verse is because he's not just saying that he has power to forgive sins. He's going to prove that he has power to forgive sins. And I want you to know, God isn't just saying things. You know, his word is speaking to us, but it's more than just saying things to us. He's proven his word. He's proven his character to us over and over and over. So, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose and took up the bed and went out into the presence of them all. And look at the impact. So that we all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Isn't that awesome? He is revealing himself to Israel, revealing himself to the sick man. He's revealing himself to his disciples. He's showing everybody who he is. And if a man does that and he says he can forgive my sins, I'm with you. Go ahead. I'm going to confess them to you. Forgive me of all my sins, Lord. Amen. He also revealed his power to heal. He reveals his power to deliver every one of us. Amen. Another thing that he wants us to know is about his truth. John 8, 31 through 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, see, there goes, they believed him. They know he existed, but now they believe him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that truth is only for those that want it, those that are willing to walk in it. If they are, they'll get the truth, and the truth will make you free. Praise God. That is the power behind our freedom, church, that you and I know the written word truth, and we know the living truth, the person himself who says, I am the truth. Amen. And we're free. And it's a constant revelation to me how true the word of God is. Again, I read through the Bible every year, the Old Testament once, the New Testament twice, for 30 or 40 some times through it. And it's just still a wonder to me. I'm not exaggerating. I'm still amazed at how real. Sometimes I go, God, I just didn't realize how true your word was. And it's a constant revelation, and it's rich and sweet. Instead of getting bored with it, I'm getting enamored with it. When Star Wars came out, the movie, I remember someone on the news said someone went and saw it 100 times. So there probably are a few people that can get enamored with a book or a movie and read it a bunch of times, but I would think sooner or later you're going to get sick of it. But I'm convinced that you could read God's word for 200 years and it'd still be fresh. I'm absolutely, positively convinced of it. All those things in there that you don't get and you don't understand, maybe you'll appreciate that they're there. Because it'll always keep you inquisitive and always keeping you hungry to even know more and more of it. If it was all so simple and you could just whip it out and quote it, you'd maybe put the thing aside. But God keeps it intriguing, and he keeps it drawing us, and it keeps us wanting to search it out more and more, and depending and learning even more to depend on the Spirit to teach you and reveal and bring the depth. Never a different truth, but just deeper understanding. You can get to the bottom of a matter. Amen. And then you realize you just scratched the surface. It's the truth of his word. It's a constant revelation, and God keeps on revealing to me the accuracy and the power of his written word. Look at our society today. The election is such a frustration. I'm like ready, like, let's just move on with it. But I know there needs to be some law and order in our land. There needs to be some people to rise up, some politicians, and it's like, let's get rid of all this cheating and lying that's going on. But look at how the mainstream media and the politicians are lying to people. And you and I, we can just see it so clear. And they're so lost. They think we're lost. They think that we're being duped, by Trump, or we're being duped by the conservative platform. I like to say I'm not even a conservative. I'm a Christian. I'm more conservative than a conservative. I'm not a Republican just because I vote that way sometimes. Although I did vote Democrat not too long ago for Sheriff David Clark when I lived in Milwaukee County. I vote for people and not for platforms, or the best platform, let's put it that way. But the mainstream media and the politicians have so many Americans duped, and you and I have the privilege of knowing the truth way more than the political and all the news and the state of our nation. We get to know the truths of the kingdom of God. That's who we're citizens of. And we have the highest privilege of knowing the absolute truth. And that's what really matters. And there absolutely is an absolute. And the truth is that thing that sets us free. That's why I could never, to this day, understand why a minister or a church will work hard at trying to downplay the truth, trying to cover up, keep it kind of from really coming out and blasting people, when that's the very thing that sets the people free. Why not proclaim the truth? Why not introduce the truth to them? That's like knowing someone's got a headache and you got the aspirin, but you don't want to offend them by giving them the aspirin to help them. Or they got cancer and they need something radical in their life, and you give them a little aspirin. Here, maybe this will help you out. He needs something way more powerful. So this love he has, and then the last point I just want to make is that Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I guess it's our lack of knowing the love of Christ is what keeps us from being filled with the fullness of Christ. And that the more we understand his love for us and our love for him, the more we can be filled with the fullness of him. Every time God reveals himself to us is an act of his unending love for us. I know it says we're saved by grace, but there's no grace if there's no love. There's no mercy if there's no love. These all flow from love. They're the aspect of love. All the things that God is love, and it flows from him. And if we have a warped idea of God's love, it's really going to hinder. We need God's revealing himself to us all the time. Why? So we know his love. And we know how he loved us, then we will know how to love him. Amen? His example towards us teaches us how to love him. And again, this love he has for us is directing us towards being filled with all the fullness of God. You know, there is a power in knowing God. There's a power in knowing what he's done for you. John 9:25. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, talking about Jesus, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And that testimony that blind man had, that was no longer blind, he could now see, is because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, something he'll never, ever forget the rest of his life. God sent his son Jesus to that man. Out of all of the blind people in the world, sent him to that man to reveal himself and left the man with a testimony. Sure, he could see now, but being touched by God was the most powerful and mighty thing in his life. So when God personally visits you and reveals his power, it has an eternal value in your life. Yet, God still reminds us. Yet, we still need reminding quite often of what he has done and that he's revealing himself to us. He's constantly showing us that he is our God. He is our Lord. And that we would know he is. Paul, towards the end of his ministry, still had that great desire in his life. And one of my all-time favorite verses, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. I'm sure he experienced the resurrection power. You've seen him display it. You read about it in the book of Acts. But he's saying, I don't have it. I don't get it all yet. You know, I haven't tapped into the full source of this. God is still teaching. God is still revealing. And he's saying, God, keep on revealing to me. Keep on showing me this power of your resurrection. Keep on showing me how to have this fellowship in your suffering. Keep on showing me how to be made conformable unto your death. He is doing all of those, but he still wants to do it. And he still is asking God to show him. He still understands that it's by God's grace that this is done. And he still understands that he has to be a willing participant. He still has to want it. You know, you will never know the truth if you refuse to live the truth. If you refuse to acknowledge it, you'll never know it. You'll just never get it. It's reserved for those who want to know the truth so they can obey the truth, they can love the truth, they can do the truth. Everything that the truth requires, that's what he's... those are the ones that will know the depths and the things of the Lord. Sure, anybody can know the Ten Commandments. I can tell you what the Ten Commandments are off the top of my head. A heathen can do that. So is the word unintelligible? No. A lot of people can get it, but you'll never understand the depths of the truth of God unless you really want that in your heart. The way Paul, still at the end of his ministry, I'm still wanting to know you more, Lord. I want to know everything about you. I want to know everything I need to know to function and be an effective apostle. The thing about this is the Lord determines who he shows himself to. In Mark 3:12, it says, but he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. Nobody can tell the Lord when to make himself known. That's his privilege. It is our privilege to get to ask him, though. And it is our privilege to get him to do that to us. Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. See, all of these verses I'm reading, and this whole thing is about knowing God himself. What a privilege to know God himself. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So this is, it's God's determination who he reveals himself to. He revealed himself to the Pharisees, and yet they're still saying, hey, why don't you, he's doing miracles all over town, and they're still saying, hey, why don't you show a sign? Were they not seeing those? I'm sure they were, but they weren't getting something. They weren't connecting the dots because they didn't have the ability. Why didn't they have the ability? Nicodemus did. And who's the other? Joseph. They got it. Why? Because they wanted to. They wanted to. And it still goes back to the grace of God. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's something he gives you because you want it. You want to, you're willing to repent, he'll save you. You humble yourself to receive from him, and he'll give to you all those spiritual blessings. So it's God's desire today, and it'll be God's desire tomorrow and every day until he raptures us out of here to reveal himself, and then he's going to really come and reveal himself. Judgment's going to come on this world for that great tribulation, time of great tribulation. God's going to be revealing himself, and then he's going to come down in person, us with him, in a white horse, and show himself to this world, and all Israel will be saved, and they'll finally get it, that he is the Messiah. So as long as you have breath, God will reveal himself to you if you want him to. You must be like Paul and want your own revelation of him. So I just end with that, just encourage you that, you know, God is, just open your eyes. Take a little time to look and see how God is always in the act of revealing himself. He's not, this isn't the blind faith. Some people think it's such a blind faith. Sometimes you just have to look and you see how God is so actively involved in your life, how he is so fulfilling all what he said to you in his word, how he's revealing his nature, his character, his love, and all of these things he is to us all the time. He did it all through the Old Testament, and you know he's doing it now through his son, speaking to us through his son and through his spirit in this day. Amen. So if the ushers would come forward, we're going to go ahead and break bread this morning. I'm careful when I ask this, but if there's anybody that has something that ministered to them that they would like to add to what I said this morning, I'll give you that moment. Don't try to think of something. It just comes to your heart. I'll give you the mic. Sometimes people spoil something. They spoil what God's doing. So, Marie, should I give you the mic? Put on the red mic. There we go.
I don't feel ready to share this, but I feel like the Lord wants me to today, which makes me more nervous, but I'm just going to trust that he's going to give me the words to say. He's been impressing upon me a lot about faith and what faith really is, and how for probably my whole Christian walk, I only saw part of it, and I believe he's trying to reveal it to me in fullness, which I'm so thankful for, because we can't please God without faith. It's impossible for us to do that. Because like Pastor said, the Israelites and people all across time saw miracles. They saw God's hand, but because they didn't view it through the lens of faith, it didn't strengthen them in him. You can't look around for signs of God with a skeptic heart. You can't look demanding God to do things the way you want him to. You can't question his goodness because he doesn't answer you the way you want him to. You have to decide in your heart that regardless of the circumstances and situations we encounter in our life, no matter how hard, no matter how uncomfortable, that we trust God's hand and that we believe his word, that he's working all things together for our good, that he is good regardless of what's happening to us. But if we look around with unbelief in our heart, the Lord can't strengthen us. We can't be strengthened with a heart of unbelief. We can't grow in the Lord with a heart of unbelief. We can't see him clearly with a heart of unbelief. That's why Satan tries to attack our faith relentlessly, because it's through a right view of faith that God can show us his fullness. And I'm just thankful that he is faithful, that if we are humble and say, Lord, like, help my unbelief, help me, because we can't believe right without him giving us a right revelation. So it's all from him. All of it's from him. You can't reason it. You can't debate God. You can't negotiate with him. You have to see him for who he is and believe him. And it's not by sight. It's not what you're going to see around you. It's what the Lord has to settle in your heart. But when he settles it, let it be settled. Because if doubt comes back in, and then you're tossed to and fro once again, which happened to me so many times. But I just encourage you, all the things that you see around you have to be mixed with faith. Otherwise, it's not, you won't be strengthened. You won't see what's right in front of you. And that's all.
It's good. After we break bread together, we can the altar can be open if you desire to come up and pray, or you want me or elders to pray with you. Excuse me, we can do that. Good to have Linda in church with us today. Amen. We all love you. Praying a lot. You too, Mary Sue. Thank you, Penny, for being faithful at doing this. She just told me today, 11 years ago we met, right? Today? 11 years ago today we met, you said? 12 years ago. Oh, last night. It's pretty good at remembering dates. Yep, I got mine. You got yours? Don't. Okay, well, let's sing a song. We got to get a little more juice here, a little short this morning. You know, let's just prepare our hearts. Again, we're going to be doing something the Lord instructed us to do till he comes. And that's when we do this, do it in remembrance of him. We're doing it to honor him. Thankful for his great demonstration of his love for us by dying for us and forgiving us of our sin. Amen.
I'm forgiven.
Yes.
Because you are forsaken. I'm accepted. Die for me. Amazing. it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. The Spirit is within me. Yes, because you died and rose again.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing love. How can it be? My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Amen. Praise God. I wonder if there has ever been a king other than Jesus that died for a people or for a person. And I guess a human can do that. A person can die in someone's stead, but there's one thing they can't do is come back to life. Amen. And our Jesus came back to life so we could have life. Amen. Praise God. That's what he's doing that night. He's going to take that penalty of sin, put it on the cross, and offer forgiveness and deliverance to all who will call. Aren't you glad you called on the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Let's just thank him for this bread this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, and we do honor you right now, Lord, and declare you are our King. You are our Lord. You are above all. And we thank you that you reveal yourself to babes like us. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank you that you allow your body to be given. And we understand that this bread represents that here this morning. So let's take church. Lord, we thank you for your new covenant. Hallelujah. A covenant of blood. A blood that we can wash ourselves clean in. A blood that has power to remove our guilt stain. Blood that has power to forgive us of our sins. And the blood that gives us the ability to overcome the evil one in this world. Hallelujah. We know this, what this cup represents here this morning is juice, the blood of Jesus. As we drink, we're doing it in remembrance of him. We're doing it with gratefulness in our heart for the power of his blood. So let's drink, church. Amen. So again, the altar's open. If you do need to follow up on something. If the Lord spoke something to your heart, Jeremy will step here and play, and I'll pray with you, or if you want one of the elders to pray with you, just come on up, and otherwise you're dismissed. And if anybody comes up here, just be mindful of that. So.